We continue our studies in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, and we're dealing with a very, very, very important truth, where there is given to us the threefold aspect of the work of our Savior. First of all, as the one who died as a sacrifice for us, the one who put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself, and then his present ministry as our representative, as our high priest in heaven on the throne. And then he's going to return to reign as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we were dealing in our last lesson with the present ministry of Christ, as we find in verse 24. Allow me to read verses 24, 25, and 26 again. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest, entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the age hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now we were discussing in closing our last lesson of the Lord's present ministry in verse 24, that Jesus Christ, after he has ascended into heaven, became our high priest. And in this verse, he's really our representative. He now appears in the presence of God for us. Then we found in verse 25 of chapter 7 that he's interceding for us. And then in 1 John chapter 2, the first verse, he's our advocate with the Father. And so on. We're dealing with his present ministry. Like you have in chapter 6, he's our refuge, our hope, our anchor, our forerunner. Now this is his present ministry, as fulfilled, for example, in the 23rd Psalm and in Hebrews 13:20. He's the great shepherd of the sheep, caring for his own people. Now we come down to verse 25 and 26, and we read of his past work for us. For I read, for yet he should offer himself often as the high priest enter into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, because he bore the sin of the world. But now once in the end of the age hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, if verse 24 is the 23rd Psalm, then verse 26 would be the 22nd Psalm, where the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gave his life for the sheep. Or in John chapter 10, where he said, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now you'll notice in the passage in verse 26, now once in the end of the age hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Let me emphasize again the fact, which we already had in chapter 9, that his sacrifice was once for all forever. We find it again in chapter 10, verse 12. This man by one sacrifice for sins forever. Notice how he emphasizes the fact it's just one sacrifice, once for all forever. You remember in John chapter 17, the fourth verse, our Lord could say in that high priestly prayer of his to his Father, Father, I have finished the work you gave me to do. In John 19:30, while he was hanging on the cross, he cried out, it is finished. And he bowed his head and yielded up the Spirit. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin. One is reminded again of that amazing book of Romans chapter 5, verse 6. When we were yet without strength, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Or Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. In the fullness of time, that is at the right time, God sent forth his Son, and so on. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Remember again what 1 Peter 1:18 declares, that our Lord was as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And we find that when we come into chapter 10. But suffice for the present to say, when he appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin. And I'll tell you, my friend, when Jesus Christ came, he came and he finished the job he came to do. You remember in Romans 15:8, he came to fulfill the promises made to the fathers. He came to do his father's will. He came to meet all the demands of a broken law. He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Oh, how glad I am that he came, aren't you? You remember, there's a verse comes to my mind, Luke 19:10, where we read the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, I'm so glad he came. Are you my friend? On 1 John 3:4, 3:5, you know he was manifested to take away our sin. And John the Baptist could say, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This man by one sacrifice for sins forever sat down at the right hand of God. It's eternally efficacious, and it abides forever. Christ will never, never, never have to die again for sinners. I'm so glad of that. No, sir, he was raised from the dead, the guarantee. Again, I come back to it. The resurrection is the guarantee that this sacrifice of Christ will never have to be repeated. It's the guarantee that God was through with the old, perfectly satisfied with the new. There is only one Savior. As our Lord could say in John 10:9, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Or in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Or you take dear Peter in Acts 4:12, when he said, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm pressing that because today there are so many preachers, and I'm sorry to say this, there are even many preachers who say that there is one God and there are many ways to get to God. You go your way and I go my way. You do your thing and I'll do my thing. Oh, listen, friend, there's only one way. There's only one Savior. Do you think God has a half a dozen saviors, half a dozen ways? If there was any other way to be saved apart from Jesus Christ, there would be no need for Christ to come and die. It's because of the fact there was no other way. There was no other way. God sent his Son, his beloved Son, heaven's best, for you and for me to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Friend, let me say it very, very bluntly. If you're not a Christian, if you've never put your trust in the Savior, you may be a church member. You may have gone through certain rites and ceremonies. But unless you have come into relationship with the Son of God, his way, God's way, then you're still dead in trespasses and sins. There's only one who can cleanse your conscience from sin, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ through his work at the cross of Calvary. There is no other way. We oftentimes sing it. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, that he died for me. Friend, listen. If you've never accepted the Savior, you do what so many of us have done. Just come in simple faith. Put your trust in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, and you'll pass from death to life. My, what a joy. What a wonder to pass out of death into life, out of darkness into light. No longer afar off, made nigh to God by the blood of his Son. You say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Do you love him? Do you trust him? Do you enjoy him? I trust this will be your experience today. If you take Christ as your Savior, you write me a line, will you? Just you drop me a line and say, Mr. Mitchell, I heard you on the radio, and I'm going to take Jesus Christ, God's Son, as my own personal Savior. Our friend, if you do that, I guarantee divine forgiveness. I guarantee you'll become the recipient of eternal life. I'll guarantee you access into the very presence of God. Now, you don't have to write me. Of course, I know that's true. But I'd love to know about it. Pray for you and encourage you in the Savior. So we have in verse 24, his present ministry. In verse 26, we have his past ministry. But what about the future? Well, listen to it. as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this judgment, so Christ was once offered for sin, or was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now here we come to the future work of Christ as king. In verse 24, as priest. In verse 26, as savior from sin. In verse 28, he's going to come as the chief shepherd. He's going to come as the king to rule and to reign and to judge. We had, and allow me to repeat it again, in verse 26, we have the 22nd Psalm. In verse 24, we have the 23rd Psalm. He's the great shepherd. And now, in verse 28, we have the 24th Psalm, the chief shepherd, the exalted one returning. Open up the everlasting doors and let the King of glory come in. He's the King of all. Same thing in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. But before we take up verse 28 on his return, I'd like to say a word about that 27th verse. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this judgment. Now he's making a very general statement. There's no question that everybody dies. From Adam right down to the present time, everybody who has come into the world has died. If the Lord Jesus should tarry, you will die. I will die. That is, we will leave this world. I'm glad I've got a home to which I can go. Do you? Do you, my friend, have a home to which you can go? It is appointed unto men once to die. Whether you're rich or poor, bond or free, old or young, death comes. Death reigns today. There's no argument about this. Death reigns today. And after death, judgment. I thought we were free from judgment. That's right. That's right. That's why I'm stopping here. I want to get this thing very, very clear. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Sin pays wages. God executes the penalty. But for the Christian, death is behind. Judgment is gone. We're already citizens of heaven. You see, judgment is coupled up here with the return of the Lord. You'll notice that. After this judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's not going to come with respect to sin the next time. He's going to come to judge, righteous judgment. So let me just for a moment remember this, that when you accepted the Savior, John 5:24 says, we passed from death to life. We shall not come into judgment. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation, no judgment, because we're in Christ Jesus. As I've been saying in the past few lessons, we're in Christ. We're joined to the eternal Son of God. And God never ceases apart from his Son. Hence, no judgment with respect to sin. It's true. The believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive the things done on the body, whether good or bad. This is a question of rewards. Not a question of judgment concerning sin, but a question of rewards. I'm not going to go to that because that's another line of truth. But I want to know this, that death is the definite end of men on earth. And then judgment. The death of Christ was certain and final. And the death of man is certain if the Lord Jesus tarries. You know, the Lord is not going to return to the earth with respect to sin. And man cannot return to the earth to make things right. Christ is not going to return to the earth to finish his sacrifice. His was a complete sacrifice. Perfect and eternal and efficacious. And when you and I came as sinners and accepted the Savior, my friend, he does a real job. He did a real job at the cross. But now what about this matter about It is appointed men once to die, and after that judgment. Now for the unsaved, my friend. For the saved, no. Judgment is passed already at the cross. Christ bore our judgment at the cross with respect to sin. What about the unsaved? Jesus said in John 8:24, if you do not believe who I am, you shall die in your sins. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. It's a terrible thing when you think of it. For a man or a woman to die in sin without a Savior. What is left? You see, but Mr. Mitchell, God's not going to damn anybody. God is love. Friend, love cannot operate apart from his righteous character. And God is righteous in all that he is and all that he does. He was righteous in turning away from his son. When his son bore your sin and my sin, God turned away from his son. That's why Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Remember that they were never separated down through the centuries. I was with him when he made the worlds, as Proverbs 8 says. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Let us, plural, make man in our image, in our likeness. Chapter 3 of Genesis, behold, man is become as one of us. They were together. In Genesis chapter 11, let us go down and confound their language at the Tower of Babel. They were together. Down through the centuries they were together. When our Lord was born as a babe in Bethlehem, they were together. Indeed, the wise men and the shepherds worshipped the babe. When our Lord was 12 years of age, he could say to his mother, wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? They were together. When our Lord was baptized by John in Jordan, there came a voice from the glory saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. They were together. On the Mount of Transfiguration, they were together. And God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When he stood before Caiaphas, they were together. When the soldier buffeted Jesus and hit him on the face, the Father was with the Son. When Pilate took him and scourged him, they were together. When he took his cross and began to walk to Golgotha's brow, they were together. But when he was made a sin offering for you and for me, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He did that for you. He tasted death. He went right down into the bowels of death for you and for me. My, how he loved us. My, how he loved us. Hence, when you and I come in the presence of God after death or the translation, it'll never be for the judgment of sin. It's past. But I solemnly say to those of you who have never accepted the Savior, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation, because death plays no favorites, and after death, judgment. If you believe not that I am he, said Jesus, you'll die in your sins. That means judgment. Now, I don't want you to go into judgment. I want you to be saved. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Where else can you find rest except in him? And oh, how wonderful. He's just waiting for you, my friend. It says in the book in John 1, to as many as receive Jesus, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, why don't you believe on his name? Why don't you accept him and pass from death to life? It's appointed on a man once to die. And after that, judgment. For who? For those who have spurned the Savior. Those who are indifferent to the Son of God. Those who do not believe on him. And I don't want you my friend, I don't want you to face judgment. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can have life today by just putting your trust in Him. Isn't that wonderful? I'll tell you. Why don't you accept Him and be saved?